This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia.
I am your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Duck team sucker, Saul Chucker, Calder Kilgore.
You threw that frog.
Good arm.
I did. I yeeted Saul.
Then, of course, Emily Axford.
Fae romancer, water dancer, and astrologically, probably a Cancer, Calliope Petrichor.
Tell us your birthday. We have to plan a party.
And then, of course, Caldwell Tanner.
Lily pad laddie, who's never met his daddy, and it makes him kind of saddy, so he works out a lot to get gains that are natty. It's Saul Buffon.
Wow. I think that was your best one.
Wow.
I loved it.
Thank you.
That was great.
The words rhyme.
They actually rhyme. I like to keep you on your toes by doing bad ones on occasion.
All right, everybody, let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Yes.
So last time, you guys encountered Patina in Alexandrite's control room.
Which one?
Great question. We'll get to it. She warned you not to mess with the core, or you could free Alexandrite, going on to explain the artificial being's origins. Alexandrite was an AI designed by Mothership, programmed with the ability to learn. She eventually surpassed the intelligence of her creators and sought to control them, reading their minds and eventually taking on a host body. After that, it became necessary to contain her and seal her off in the control pod. There, Mothership can draw from her power without fearing a takeover. Unsure what to do about the contained AI, you killed a clone of Patina Glenbottle before investigating the pod, learning that Alexandrite's host body was the tight grandma herself. After killing several more clones of Patina,
better safe than sorry.
That wasn't a waste of time at all.
Beatrix decided to finish the job by stabbing into the pod and killing the original body. This did the job, but also freed Alexandrite, who quickly entered your minds and attempted to convince you to join her network. The AI proposed that the humanoid species was suboptimal and offered to take it to the next stage in evolution by becoming one with you. After rejecting her proposal, she attempted to take your minds by force, but Callie and Calder were able to escape with the guidance of Foster. Saul, on the other hand, was going through the ringer. The victim of a charm-like mind control spell and his own curiosity, Alexandrite offered to reveal the truth about his parentage. As machines took over his body, Callie was able to inspire him and Calder was able to use Frost to slow the transformation, leading to Saul successfully resisting the network and escaping. However, when you all came to, you found that Beatrix had become Alexandrite's new host. As she resisted, she tapped in Alexandrite's power to rip open the air yacht. She threw you from the mothership, but not before Callie could use the jammer to modify her memory and cast doubt on her. You swung down through the night sky to Ma Goblin's cargo ship, where you learned that Grem and a small team had been trapped on a mothership warship trying to free their allies. You jumped down to help, stole an airship, and successfully got everyone on board. Unfortunately, your ship was hit with cannon fire, and you had to do a crash landing to the rocky beach below the city. As you caught your breath, you looked up and saw Beatrix plummet along with the air yacht out of the sky, avoiding the city, but crashing in the ocean and sending a tidal wave heading right towards you. And that's where we are now.
Okay.
Oh, that's a big wave.
Everyone go ahead and give me, we'll say, acrobatics or athletics checks to try to get behind some like cave walls and things like that. Because we're all like, are like rocks and stuff around
right.
You.
Brace! Watch out for the undertow.
Heads up.
18.
Nat 20.
Woo. Sick. Calder, I'll say that with a nat 20, you scoop up one of the unconscious hobgoblins that one of the other guys was struggling to carry.
Right.
You grab him and you hide behind one of these giant rocks at the edge of this cliffside.
I got this big guy, and I pick him up with one hand.
You got this guy on your shoulder. Grem drags another guy. He passes his athletics check. He gets around a corner. There are two guys that fail, unfortunately. They're behind a little bit. What did you two guys get?
18.
16.
Both of you guys passed. Great. You guys are able to find some cover. So what that means is this level 8 tsunami spell, essentially. I'm just going by the spell, is going to hit. And you guys now essentially have resistance to it. So if you pass, you take a quarter damage. If you fail, you take half damage. But the couple guys that are left on the beach are going to take the full damage. You see one guy was knocked out. Another one of the hobgoblins is trying to pull him up, but is not able to get cover in time. As this giant tidal wave crashes down, you see Grem reaches his hand out. No! Everyone give me strength saving throws now.
Ooh.
22.
Shout out to the two crew.
Shout out to the two crew as well. That's a 3.
Oh,
boy.
So Callie and Saul fail. And I'm going to say what that looks like is you guys are able to get cover, but literally the rocks that you guys are hiding behind get swept away as well. So you do not take the full force of the water. It takes like a little while for it to give, but you do take half of 47 damage, which rounded out will be 23. So you guys take 23 damage. Calder, you're only going to take 12 damage. And I'll say that you're able to protect this guy that you're hanging on to. You get around the side of like the cliff face, up against the rocks. You hold on to this guy. Grem actually fails. He's trying to pull this one guy, but Grem lives, but he gets like knocked out. Him and this guy that he saved scramble to try to get to the other guys who are still on the beach. The wave hits them before they can get there. Grem and this other dude are slammed back into the nearby cliff face, and the other guys are just swallowed by the ocean. They just have disappeared as you see the water starts to settle. Still big waves crashing onto the rocky shore. You guys can't even see the shore anymore. You guys are now swimming on this flooded beach. You see the hobgoblins are across the board knocked out. Two of them have been completely swept away.
They're unreachable.
You don't even see where they are.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, these other guys kind of need to be rescued.
Okay.
So there's Grem and four of the hobgoblins are knocked out and are just kind of like floating there in the wreckage of the tsunami.
First off, I'm going to use Stone's Endurance to shrug off some of that tsunami damage. I shrug it all off.
Sick. I'll say Calder, you straight up turn into an ice ball. I'll say you protect the hobgoblin that you're helping out as well. I'll say that guy does not need to be saved. It's Grem and three other guys are knocked out, messed up.
All right. Does everyone know how to swim? Callie, I assume. You're mostly water.
My life
water.
Is just swimming and feeling, so.
Oh, yeah. We keep it wet over here.
All right.
Saul dives in.
Sweet. You guys go over, and I'll say you guys have enough time with your various like healing capabilities and stuff, just like medicine checks. You guys have time to get everybody up. So you see out of the original 8 that had jumped onto the warship, 5 had survived. Grem looks around, kind of takes in the loss of the situation, but then turns to you guys and goes,
"Thank you. We were willing to die for the cause, but now we can live to fight for it another day."
Sorry we couldn't save everyone.
Yeah.
You see one of the other guys puts his hand on your shoulder and goes,
"We wouldn't be here without you."
Never seen a braver group of goblins.
You see they laugh. Grem looks up into the night sky. It's now kind of like eerily quiet, and you even see some wreckage of the mothership air yacht start like floating over towards you guys.
It's weird not seeing it up there.
Grem nods and looks up and goes,
"I know this is what we wanted, but I think things are gonna get worse before they get better."
I can see that.
Yeah.
That's usually how it works.
Proper divination there, Grim.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have ever gotten better under Mothership Shadow. So this is a start.
Do we find any of Beatrix?
Yeah.
Can I swim
out? Yeah, you guys can. Oh. Yeah, you guys swim out near like the wreckage. Everybody go ahead and give me investigation checks. You see Graham and his crew are pretty injured. They're going to start like climbing up this little like cliff face to get onto some dry land here. And they tell you that they'll meet you guys after you guys go investigate it.
Okay. I got an 18.
Okay.
I got an 8.
13?
13. Okay. All of you find, you know, pieces of the mothership. You find lots of pieces of wood of like the damaged hull and everything. This was a huge, I mean, it's everywhere. This thing was the size of, you know, like a neighborhood. So mm-hmm. This is like, there's pieces of wood and everything everywhere. Like this thing shattered, it exploded. Calder, with an 18, you look around and a couple things that are weird about it. No wreckage of any kind of robots. No wreckage of anything that looks like machinery, no wires, anything like that. It is all the wooden shell of this air yacht.
I'm not sure this thing was destroyed.
She took what she needed, huh?
Are they okay at the bottom of the ocean?
Saul's gonna dive down. With my amphibian abilities, I can get like 90 feet with my dash, I think.
Saul, you begin swimming underwater. Mm-hmm. You don't need to breathe. So, you go quite deep. Mm-hmm. I'll even say you have like a little mothership, lantern that you pull out. That's like waterproof. You hold this lantern as you go into the dark sea. It is still nighttime. You go down, down, you see all this debris all around you. But once again, it's just all wood. It's all things like sails and things like that. It's all this like non-mechanical stuff. Huh. And as you travel down, and I'll say you even take like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, again, you're a fucking frog. You don't need to breathe.
We're playing cards on a raft.
You're cheating.
It's all I know how to do. I'm sorry. I was raised by criminals and I'm still seeking their approval.
I pay her anyway.
you reach the floor of the sea here, Saul, and there's no fucking wreckage here. There's no sign of the ship at all.
Do I see like sand trails of anything leaving in either direction?
Go ahead and give me an investigation check.
Okay. 15.
So this body of water near Esri is essentially like a giant man-made lake that feeds out into like the ocean. And you do see like drag marks that after a little bit pick up, but it did start to go towards the ocean. And this thing, this is supernatural. It rocketed the fuck out of here. You have no idea where this thing
is. Saul, come up. Tell us what you found. Calder doesn't have any more money for me to take.
No one should have. You got gin 4 times in a row. How is that possible?
It's the equivalent of Saul being like at the bottom of Lake Michigan and you guys just on the beach yelling for him.
Saul appears on the opposite side of Callie.
She cleaned it out.
Really? Okay, Saul, I want you to go down and find like a piece of kelp.
A piece of kelp?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw quite a lot of kelp down there.
Yeah, grab a piece.
Any sort of piece in particular?
I was going to say one that speaks to you, but it's going to be one that speaks to me.
All right, well, you know, I'll find one that is to my liking.
Okay. If you can get me a shell, I would just be interested to have one.
She cleaned you out again, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you out of money?
I need to barter with something.
Saul dives back down.
Oh no, shells are my weakness.
Saul dives down and finds some kelp.
Find some kelp.
Yeah,
and I find,
it's easy.
Can I do a conch check?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead and give me a nature check. We'll see how good it... You might find some shitty kelp.
Ooh. Oh, that's a 4.
Ooh, Callie, there's no way to not find kelp here.
Yeah.
But Saul comes up and you're kind of like, really? Do you not have tried a little harder?
I find a sea cucumber. Is this kelp? Am I kelping?
It'll do.
Just like,
I take it so disappointed. And I like swim to be away from him. And then I want to take this sea cucumber. And after that dream I had about the sunflower, I decided to lean into, I've been thinking about this little flower that I talked to one time, and I learned the spell Speak with Plants.
Ooh.
So I like to cast Speak with Plants on this sea cucumber.
Sea cucumbers are animals.
So oh, come on.
What?
It's
got cucumber in the name.
Break it down to the bottom.
Have you ever seen kelp before?
Are we in a rush here? I'll dive back down. We're not in a rush.
It looks like lettuce, not a cucumber.
Saul goes back down and finds some kelp after you describe it. And you cast Speak with Plants on the kelp.
And I asked you for a shell.
I side-eye the shell to see if he got one. It looks really good.
It's actually pristine.
I got you a can of shell energy drink. It was left over.
Yeah, you cast Speak with Plants on the kelp.
Okay, so, hello, my name is Calliope Petrichor. I am a kelp. Friend. You're kelp. What a beautiful name.
Don't mess this up for me, kelp. I'm on thin ice.
Don't play cards with her.
It says, I can question plants about events in the spell's area within the past day, gaining information about creatures that have passed, weather, and other circumstances.
What happens? There was a big something that came crashing into your home. And then where did it go? Did it disappear like it teleported away?
Oh, it swam really fast.
It swam really fast. What direction did it swim?
Oh, away.
Okay, but in the direction of the ocean?
What? Here.
In the direction of the
away
big water?
From here.
Okay.
Yeah, big water, yeah.
Did it have any sort of mechanism that was making it so fast?
Nah.
Like fire or...
It's like a big fish.
It was like a big fish?
Yeah.
Did it make a transformation into a big fish?
It was one big thing. And then it was another big, fast thing, and it swam.
Okay.
Okay, so how much are harps worth, Calder?
Say, sounds painful. Thank you
kelp.
So much, kelp. You've been such a big help.
I fucking toss him over my shoulder.
Well, that was a dead end.
What did the kelp tell you?
It said that it changed itself into a big fish and it sped into the ocean.
From what I saw down there, it basically looked like she cracked the airship open like a crab and just sucked everything she could use out of it.
Mm. Yeah, so I mean, I basically did that to see, like, did it teleport away or did it swim away? Mm. And I've confirmed that
it swam. It's a swimmer.
Okay. It's a swimmer.
All right.
Which means that Beatrix / Alexandrite,
BB.
Yeah. Why? Why I don't know. Is it BB?
Well, because I was thinking like Beatrix, B. Alexandrite, B. BB. I was, just cut this.
We should tell that one to Graham.
I feel like that's a retreat. Is it a calculated retreat? Like Beatrix is like, let's go have this out at the bottom of the ocean where we can't hurt anyone. Or is it an escape?
Was Alexandrite gathering her power somewhere and planning the next attack?
That's what I'm worrying, because Alexandrite really has big plans.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long Beatrix can keep her at bay.
Yeah, this seemed like more like a tactical retreat to me.
Okay, what is our next move?
We should try and find Alvin and Ma Goblin. I want to make sure they're okay.
Yeah, let's get Grim and the boys home.
Mm. Also, I don't know if this is the right time to even talk about this, but like... I think I have to be moving on after this.
Moving on where? Where?
Jinx.
You owe me a shell.
Wait, where's the shell now? Where's the shell?
I think I dropped it.
Calder has it in his pocket.
Yeah, so kind of like the deal is like, remember I told you about like Glenn and the egg I gave him?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I think it's like a really bad thing. I think I really, really fucked up. And I think that instead of just continuing to try to outrun all my mistakes, I think I need to make this one right.
Why do you want to do that by yourself?
Oh, I mean, well, I'm talking about leaving here after this. I think I'm going to go to the Living Wood.
Well, the mothership just blew up and fell into the water. I don't really have anything else to do in this town.
Yeah, I mean, my whole purpose was to
protect the people of Ezri, but I'm starting to realize I might need to protect the world against whatever Ezri's been doing.
Yeah, but I think the dragon elves, at least Glenn's dragon elves, might be like Ezri level fucked up. And I think I might have like armed them with some sort of crazy fey creature. And Foster knows it too. That's why Foster's been like malfunctioning.
Yeah. That's what he did. That's what he did in my dream.
Yeah. He's like connected to all this somehow and I don't understand it. And weirdly, he's like the thing I'm the least worried about. The thing I'm most worried about is like, what the fuck did I hand over to Glenn?
Well, Foster's connected to the egg and you're connected to Foster. We're connected to you.
That's right. We go where the duck goes.
We're coming. I'm bringing my shell.
Wait, you have the shell?
No, I dropped
it. You said you dropped it.
I drop it.
Calder, let me see the shell.
Calder starts doing the butterfly away.
Oh, yeah, you guys are swimming the whole time doing this.
Saul hides the fact that he picked up 5 more shells.
No fair. Yeah. Everyone has shells.
You better go get that shell.
Yeah, you guys swim over to the side of this cliff, and you guys climb up, and you see Grem and these other few guys that are here with them have made like a little fire, kind of patching up their wounds. Grem approaches you guys and goes,
I've gotten a message off to Ma. We can rest here for the night. We'll meet them tomorrow at the Church of Moradin. Right. We don't have to be underground anymore.
Oh, okay. Also?
Yeah, it's out in the
open.
I
did the sign of the beard, and it stopped me from taking damage.
Whoa!
I think Moradin is real.
What?
Oh, Calder does the sign of the beard. It's a little late. I'm kind of fucked up, but...
Where would a beard go? Saul kind of like points at his throat sack. Here? Here? Lower?
I think, yeah, it would cover the throat sack.
Okay.
Or you could do like a soul patch.
Ooh, that would work. Yeah,
a soul patch.
A soul patch.
Saul does a very tiny mark of the beard.
Graham, can we make you a nest?
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
You deserve the best nest that anyone has ever seen.
Gather some dry kelp.
If we're going to go to bed, I can speak with plants and ask them to make a nice nest for Grem. Even though technically it's a gunner's nest and he doesn't actually want a nest.
Yeah, no, you see he's just trying to humor you at this point. Yeah, I sleep in a nest. I sleep on sticks. That's what I do.
So am I getting kelp or not?
Yeah. Whatever you need, Saul. I really appreciate everything you guys did tonight.
We're gonna make
and
you.
So I'm gonna say that I want to sleep on a bunch of sticks.
He's finally getting it.
Me and all my friends want to sleep on sticks with you guys. We should make one big nest.
One big nest.
So
that's a good idea.
Yes. I'm running around. I'm gathering sticks.
Yeah, you guys like fucking maniacs make a nest. Little like stacks of like leaves and stuff for you guys to sleep on. Mm-hmm. You see Grem and the other dudes very quickly pass out. They've had a day.
This is crazy. We usually never see the stars because there's the ship in the sky.
Yeah.
So much light pollution.
The dome is so cloudy you can barely see through it.
Oh, I failed to mention this. Now that the mothership Ariat is gone, the bubble is gone. The bubble has dispelled. The arcane shield of the city has gone down.
Okay, there's going to be chaos in the streets.
Oh, yeah. It's probably better to do a nest night, I think.
Yeah.
Just let things calm down a little bit.
For now, this looks peaceful. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of home.
Oh.
Do you see the stars up north?
They're crystal clear up north.
I've heard that when it's colder, stars are brighter. Do you think it's true?
It sounds true to me.
Wow.
They're like a bunch of beautiful, tasty bugs.
Graham, how'd you like me to make you cold?
Sleep. What? Are you saying? Is somebody attacking?
Oh, no, it's great. So here's the thing. He just kind of puts you in like a comatose state because your body gets so cold that it just shuts down.
I was
it's
already
great.
Sleeping. What are you? Good night, Graham.
Good night, Graham.
Night, Graham.
Good night. I really want to like you guys. And I respect you now. I do. And I want to like you, and I do.
And we like you too.
Okay, good.
Good night, Graham.
Good night.
I'll wake you up in 5 minutes.
Please don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as he falls asleep, I'm like, Graham?
Yes.
Are you mad at us? I'm getting a vibe.
Are we good, Graham?
Are we good?
We're as good as we're gonna be, yeah. There's people in your life that you'll meet, and you'll be like, that's a really good person.
Yeah.
But you just won't vibe with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the situation.
And that's not
us.
Are
you talking about Dog?
Yes, I am aligned with Dark, but I think he does a lot of heroic things.
Yeah.
And he's quite proficient and has been a great boon to our cause, and I'm very happy that he came into my life. But if we were to not talk anymore, that would also be fine. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Grim, why does it look like your smile hurts?
It just... I'm thinking about Darg.
And looks at you and then looks at Callie. And Darg. And looks at Ed Calder. And Darg.
Yeah. Good night, Graham.
Good night, Graham.
Good night.
The thing is, we only had to say it the one time.
Yeah.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
I'll see you in the morning, Graham.
I know.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah, Marty is one of the other guys wakes up. So, you guys talking? Go to bed, please.
Before we go to bed, can I find like a little piece of paper?
Okay.
And then like look at the stars and like punch out little holes to match the starscape right now?
Yeah, very cute, of course.
I don't know why. I just felt like doing it. Back off.
You make a little star map on a piece of paper.
And
you put it in your pack.
Is that for Grim?
I don't know. I just like haven't really seen Starseer yet. It just seems like astrologically significant.
Yeah.
Like, this is today. This is the day that it happens.
If you make another one of those one night, can I have it?
You can have this one. For the fucking shell.
I dropped it. Fine, here. You have all my money. You have all my cash.
Give him the star map.
You guys trade the star map for the shell, and you guys go to bed. I'll say you wake up Graham a few more times before you finally fall asleep.
We meant to say sleep tight.
Yeah. Okay. Good night kind of just encapsulates that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of a good night.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And you guys eventually do fall asleep, and you wake up the next day, and you see the sun comes up, and everything just looks a lot clearer and crisper without the bubble, without this sort of, it almost looked like the night, the sky still looked beautiful, but it was like the far off beyond things, like the sun looked like you were looking at it through like the wrong prescription of glasses, just looked like a little foggy or like literally like a window that's been like fogged up or something like that. But that's all gone. You see Grim and the others wake up.
Ugh, barely got any goddamn sleep. Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I really appreciate, again, everything you guys did yesterday.
Grim!
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, why don't we get up, see what's going on in the city and get to the Temple of Moradin.
That's right. Okay. I did make breakfast for everyone. I've been fishing for 3 hours.
Unnecessary, but thank you.
I had to punch a bunch of marlin.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
They're tenderized.
You've got a swordfish.
You guys climb up this cliff, and I'll say you guys enter the city through like Outer Esri. You get up in this area, like through the docks, and you see there's people in the streets everywhere. A lot of people that lived outside of the bubble, just walking around looking at where this like barrier once stood, is now completely gone. And there's not a lot of love for Mothership out here, but it's just a lot of confusion and just like, man, what's life gonna be like now? And you see out here, they're probably a little better off than in the city because they relied less on Mothership technology. Like I said, they've got inside all the buildings, they've got lanterns going and braziers and everything. But up in the city, as you kind of look up to the various bridges and walkways and stuff that will take you up to the higher areas of the city, you see that the rail cars are like completely stopped. Patina did tell a fib in when she said that like things were going to fall and things like that. That did not happen. It does not look like there was any kind of massive loss of life, but it does look like essentially like a citywide blackout. So you guys have to go up the long way. You have to like climb up these pathways and everything as you wind your way up through the city. And as you go through, you're kind of seeing the best and worst of humanity. You're seeing people kind of like helping each other out, kind of opening up their homes to people and everything. But then you also see like there's like merchants out like selling food for like way too high of prices, like long lines of people trying to get like supplies and everything. You do see that a lot of the members of Mob Goblin are the ones who are like out trying to direct people and trying to get things under control. There's a definite like confusion here, but it is not like a full-blown panic. And you guys make it to this old temple of Moradin. The doors are open. You see a bunch of people are kind of taking shelter inside. And you see Ma Goblin, Albin, Darg, and a bunch of others. Albin and Ma Goblin run up and give you guys hugs.
Albie!
I'm so glad you're all right. That was completely fucking insane.
Yeah, that was bonkers. That was big time bonkers.
What happened to all you? Give me a rundown.
Albin and Ma Goblin go on to explain their situation, which was basically that they boarded all of these lab ships, but when they got to the last one, this giant warship showed up, and that's when Grem and the other guys jumped on and cut it free and everything. And you see they have a big reaction, like Grem and... you guys do notice, Grem and Darg embrace.
I thought I was never going to see you again. I told you not to come back for me.
I turn to them, I'm like... He is so fake.
That's awkward.
Literally just shit-talking him to us. Then hugging him like he's best friends.
It's absolutely
cringe. People.
So I assume you guys kind of tell Albin and Ma Goblin what's up, right?
Yeah, we fill him in on everything.
So you fill him in on everything.
Because I feel like this is still ultimately Ma Goblin's mission.
Yeah.
Right. So,
like,
Ma...
First of all, we congratulate her on the the jammer.
Yeah, jammer good. So, my thought was that we were going to get rid of the S-Class program and sort of slowly get rid of all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So things didn't go exactly as we planned them, but perhaps something extreme needed to happen for there to be real change.
This is the beginning of revolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's time to pick up the pieces.
Beginnings are always messy.
Yes, yes,
and
they are.
And we thrive in messiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be slower beginning, but beginning is happening quite fast. Quite fast. Things are hopefully as bad as they're going to get. Technically, there are... See, the officials, they had previously been deep in Mothership's pocket, but I don't think that's going to be very lucrative now. Mothership does still exist. There are shell corporations. There are likely other headquarters and things like that, but this was the big one. This was the city that they took over, and they're not here anymore.
This has got to be a big blow.
Yes, so we will do our best to serve the people of the city and help them during this time of transition.
Do you need anything else from us?
I think the time for soldiers is over. I think it is time for us to use our tech magic to try to do good instead of just to try to eliminate the bad.
The city doesn't need a mothership. It needs a Ma Goblin.
Oh, I certainly hope so.
It's a good slogan.
Well, I believe we have the number, so the powers that be are more likely now to work with us than against us. We have... Great hackers here, great tech mages. I believe we will have the city up and running in not long. And in the meantime, we have the old-fashioned way of keeping the lights on. We have the old-fashioned way of providing food and water. We have enough resources. It's just going to be tough for a little bit.
What do you think, Albin? City needs you.
Albin nods and he goes, yes, I was going to say, if it's all right, I think I'll help Ma here and get the city running again. They're going to need as many tech mages as possible.
You're more than just the toilet paper, Albin. That was just the beginning.
You're more
Did you say that I was more than just... Did you think that I thought that I was just toilet paper?
Sorry, I was trying to be nice.
Right,
I thought it was closure for us.
He's really trying, Albin. He's really trying.
You see Graham puts his hand on Albin's shoulder, and Albin just nods.
Thank you, Calder. I appreciate that.
Albin, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't think we're staying.
Really? Where will you be going from here?
I've got a little wrong to right, in the living woods, and I told them, and they suggested coming along.
I owe Callie my life multiple times over at this point.
And Callie owes me, like, a bunch of cash.
And at least 3 shells at this point.
Yeah.
I gave you the star map. Give me the star map.
No, that was for the shell. You okay. Still have my money.
All right, all right. Let's have a nice goodbye.
Calder runs away a little bit.
Let's not run away.
So she's crazy.
I'll rip it up and nine of us can have it.
You see Albin stops looking at Callie or Calder and just looks at you, Saul, and goes, well, Saul, I look forward to reading the Frog Pals spinoff series. I think it's time you became the main character.
There are going to be books written about you, whether you want them or not, Albin. You've got greatness in your bones.
Thank you, Saul. It'll be the boy wizard and the adventure to make sure the city doesn't descend into chaos while there's a vacuum of power.
A little verbose.
What is your problem?
He's impossible. Oh, crap.
He's like Dark.
Dark goes, hey, what? Who doesn't like me?
Dark, put the finger guns away.
What?
Makes me jumpy.
Give it a minute, Dark.
Oh, wait, now we're turning on me. Now we're infighting.
We're
perfect.
Team Grimm now.
Come on now. Grimm and me are best buddies.
Yeah, Saul goes up to Albin and says, well, if you're going to be in the city, you'll have access to a lot of resources, and we'd love to keep in touch because there's a lot of things we don't know. He kind of points to Foster and says, this duck is perplexing. It is very capable and very powerful, and we don't know anything about it, but we know that it's going to be able to help us as we continue our journey. So anything you can tell us, we'd love to know.
Yeah, Albie, if you could look into just the general... Wild?
The wild?
Yeah.
Of like the Feywild?
Yeah.
As it refers to the Feywild?
Yeah, but not the place. Like, sort of like a wild energy that might reclaim that which has been stolen from it.
Like some sort of prophecy or something?
Maybe more of just like a threat.
A threat?
Or a promise.
All right, yes. Once we get everything up and running again, I can maybe even have access to the Launchpad's library and see what I can find.
Yeah.
Even the restricted section? Guarded by the Knowledge-O-Mancers?
We can get in past the Knowledge-O-Mancers. We can tell the Knowledge-O-Mancers what to do.
Oh, that's right.
Now, let's not go crazy with power. Nobody tells the Knowledge-O-Mancers what to do.
That's right. We must maintain some semblance of order.
Albin looks disappointed.
Ma, what do you think happened to Beatrix?
Oh, boy. Well?
Do you think that she's been fused with Alexandrite and they've just made a retreat to get more powerful?
Truth be told, this is all just kind of blowing me away and making me shit myself.
Whoa!
Yes,
that
well...
That is revealing.
I respect that truth, though.
Yes, I'm being completely honest with you. I thought I was sending you in there to eliminate the S-Class program. I knew nothing of... this Alexandrite situation. I can't imagine more than a handful of people would have known about it. And with tech that powerful, something that can effectively absorb the intelligence of things around it, Beatrix has shown in the past that she has been able to resist Mothership's tricks before, but this seems too big even for her. I think we will be seeing her again, and I think we'll be seeing Alexandrite again.
So we have to be ready.
Patina mentioned that she worked on this with other people, and she said they had all been taken, but she's proven not to be very trustworthy. Is there anyone else that might know about Alexandrite? Anyone that survived?
From what I've heard, there were no additional fatalities besides any of the guards that Beatrix killed, and also Dodd. So if anyone did survive the initial... Alexandrite takeover, there's a good chance that they are still alive and in the city somewhere. So we can look into it. I think it might be likely that we could get them to talk. Maybe the city will even finally hold Mothership accountable for something.
Now we're
there are technically leaders of this city and stuff. I don't know if you knew that.
We have a king?
Yeah, there's a king. There's a fucking king.
What's his name? I don't even know his name. Isn't that weird?
I don't...
I just feel like we should know the king's name.
I didn't even know that that was a king. I've been here.
Isn't that wild?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's a king. It's,
I know it. I know it. It's like king. Yeah. It's a. There's an E or something.
Yeah. I feel like there's like. It starts with a letter of the alphabet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's either a consonant or a vowel.
It's got to be one of those two. It could be a Y.
Yes. The king's name, if you even want to call him a king, is King Flinbin Pebblepot.
That's.
It's harsh on the ear to hear it.
I just like Flinbin. That's wild. But then Pebblepot. I don't know. It just makes me shiver with revulsion. I
can't even remember the last time he spoke or showed any amount of leadership or did anything but just collect the fat mothership paycheck.
Is that why they call people that don't do anything Flinbins?
That is correct.
Is that where that expression comes from?
That is where it comes from. That is your
don't
king.
Be such a Flinbin. Well, all right. Yeah.
So I think probably what we'll do is we'll try to get him to say something to unite some people, and then we'll probably dispose of him peacefully.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's like a cool island you could excommunicate him to.
Do you mean depose? Or do you want to say dispose?
Depose, dispose. I meant depose. And I said dispose.
Well, I think this town has a leader, and we're looking at her.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Calder. I will. I will do my best to honor the city. And we will all work together.
All right.
And you are always welcome back. Esri is for everyone. There is no bubble. The bubble has been popped.
Bubble has popped. May the sun shine down on this free state.
Oh, and before you go, let me give you something for your journey.
You see she grabs a little pouch of coins and tosses it to you guys. And Ma Goblin gives you guys 5,000 gold.
Whoa. Ma, you shouldn't have.
How'd you know I was broke?
I'm going to win all that off you.
Calder holds it very defensively.
Let's let Foster carry it, right?
Yeah, I'll just lose it.
Foster opens his mouth, takes in the pouch.
Can you point us in the direction of a post office before we leave?
Yeah, you see, goes to point towards a building that would normally have like a tech mage that would like send something out through a machine to somebody or somewhere else. Like you would just like get it instantly. And she goes, right. That's not going to work right now. We'll get that up and running in a little bit. You can send the messenger bird to somebody.
I would love to do that. I want to go to like some sort of like souvenir store and find like an Esri postcard. And I want to, like, I'm assuming there's like a panoramic one with like mothership in the sky. And I want to take out my little quill and like paint over the mothership in the sky. So that's just all blue sky. And then I'm going to write on the back of it, "Dear Krugen, skies are bluer than ever in Esri. Headed to the living wood, but I'll see you soon. Love, Callie. P.S. Look into Tavister. I don't think he's up to anything good."
Ah, good memory. Mm. This was the person that Callie found in the files that was connected to her family in Marengate that was doing some kind of nefarious activity with Mothership.
Wow.
And then I write that and then I want to send it.
Yeah,
that.
You find...
P.S. Calder says hi.
Oh, yeah. Add your P.S.'s.
Oh, yeah. Saul just attaches a little piece of yarn.
You know the bird's going to eat that, right?
Yeah, that's a snack for the journey.
Okay.
You go up, you find this tower in outer Esri where they rely less on tech. And you see this old halfling dude comes out, opens door.
Nobody uses birds anymore.
Are you trying to talk me out of using your business?
You young people are always out here using your spells and everything.
I'm here
but
to
you
use
wanna
your
use,
birds.
You want to use birds? Yeah. I thought you were here to harass me.
No. People come here and
people come here, they harass me. They
come
say,
here, bring
what
it
you?
In. Bring it in. Cry on the shoulders.
You're harassing us.
Yeah.
Come on, quit being such a Flinbin and let us in.
What did you call me?
Nothing. Saul is frightened.
All right, it's going to be an extra 5 silver for the yarn because that's going to weigh down the bird.
Can I have it launched from my finger? I've been getting in touch with my wild roots lately.
Very well. Goes over, gets a raven, charges you a couple gold.
I use Calder's money.
You're not going to give me a chance to win that back.
You see, he pulls from a particular cage that knows to go to Iron Deep, essentially goes back and forth between here and Iron Deep. You put this raven on your finger.
Hi, little guy. Thank you so much for your service.
Nods and flaps off.
Birds are beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
They really are. People don't appreciate birds anymore. Did you know that birds can deliver all kinds of messages?
What
you
kinds?
Can write whatever you want on a piece of paper.
What are you admitting to? Or something?
Yeah.
You could write all kind of weird stuff.
That seems like more of an ability of the person writing.
You can write a threat.
Are you threatening us?
I don't know.
You're crazy, sir.
We like that.
You are bad news. I think that this is why you have such a bad rating.
You think that's why people don't use the birds anymore? It's because of my personality specifically. Because I've been sending threats with the birds.
Yeah, I think my
birds are very aggressive.
Has tanked an entire cottage industry.
Also, I read your letter.
You read my letter?
It was fine.
That's against the postal code.
Okay, honestly, reading it is one thing. Giving notes on it is an entirely another thing.
All right.
Keep your notes to yourself.
Do you need any other birds?
I could use a bird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like for the birds to stop pecking me. I think they think I'm food.
They're violent, yes. They will attack your friend Krugan as soon as they get to Iron Deep, but they will drop the message as well.
Can I send a bird to the frigid north?
Do you consent to them attacking the person on the other end?
No. Unless it's my brother Gregor, in which case, yes.
All right, we'll send it to Gregor then.
Okay.
He gets this big, badass-looking crow.
Oh, this is going to be hilarious.
It is good for pranks.
I write a message and I just say, don't trust Mothership or beware of Mothership.
Mm. Damn. You write, beware of Mothership. Give it to this tough crow who flies off.
Is this the one that would give you those frozen swirlies?
Yeah, Gregor's the big brother.
Oh, yeah.
Gowan was always nicer to me.
Wow.
I hope we get to meet him.
A frozen swirly is kind of a look, though.
Yeah, that's probably what gave me my cowlick.
Oh, wow. Your hair learns that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you need a comb.
Why do you have notes for everyone?
I just spent a lot of time around mean birds in this tower by myself.
You know what? Save it for the birds.
Do you want to come with us?
We need you.
Yes. You see, moves at 5 feet per round. Let me get all of my bags. You'll need to carry them, of course.
I politely wait.
Okay. I'm coming. I don't have any friends here.
I think probably okay.
This means more than anything to me.
I commit to this for like 40 feet. And then I get too impatient.
Callie, he's bringing all the birds with him.
We're going to jog
the birds
ahead.
Are getting mad. They don't like being in the cages, especially because I poke them with sticks.
That's a cat carrier full of birds, Callie.
Wow. Everyone quick, run.
Hey, you can't outrun me. I run 5 feet per round.
Expeditious retreat.
Hey. I'm going to dash and go 10 feet.
We need it.
I'm going to dash and go 10
feet. Hold down the fort. We'll come back.
He crashes and a bunch of birds just fly off. Then they fly back and start pecking him. No! No! Save me! Please! They're eating me! They're going for the tender bits.
He's lying. This is manipulative. They're not eating
him. They're going for the tender bits.
Sweet. So you guys leave this guy in the dust as he's being... pecked by birds. The birds that he admittedly bullied.
I'll get you back in that cage and poke you with a stick.
You guys have to hash this out on your own.
And I'll feed you apples instead of whatever you're supposed to eat.
Wait, that's a threat? I'd love an apple.
Get an apple. What are you doing? Help!
My goblin, you got to get the tech magic mail system back up super quick. As we're heading back, I want to double back to the Temple of Moradin. I imagine Albin's still there.
Yeah.
Hey, we're about to go, but before we do, is there something I can talk to you about?
Yes, of course, Saul.
Listen, I know we're giving you a lot of work to do, a lot of assignments, but there's just one more thing I would love if you could look into.
All right.
And I pull out the little, like, shard of metal that I've carried around with me ever since I can remember. Uh-huh. It says Solemn on it. Alexandra said something about where I might be from. And it's probably nothing. And I don't want to burden Callie and Calder with it. We've got a lot to do. But if you could look into just Mothership and what they were doing with animal hybrids and any experiment like that, it would really mean a lot to me.
Are you suggesting that you could be some kind of clone or something, Saul?
I don't know. I'm sure that I'm just from one of the swamps further down, but it would just give me peace of mind.
I can tell you with certainty that they weren't doing anything like this publicly.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they weren't doing publicly,
though. That is 100% true, Saul. Yeah. I will look into this for you.
Yeah.
But no matter what, you are Solemn Buffo, and you are a good frog.
I really needed to hear that, Alvin. And I give him one last big frog hug.
He gives you a hug. You saw he was very excited that you came back to say one last goodbye.
Of course.
He goes back up to, they're kind of setting up the Church of Moradin now to be kind of like their tech base for mm-hmm. the moment. And you go back and you join Callie and Calder.
One last thing I want to do before we go. I draw my greatsword and I break the blade off the hilt. And I slide my hand around that, and ice shards grow from the hilt.
Sick.
I've bonded myself to my weapon.
Oh, this rules. This is the thing that lets you bring it back to you with a bonus action and stuff. It.
I can't be separated from my sword.
That's fucking rad. So now you've just got this icy blade.
Yeah, ice blade.
So if I kick it out of your hands like this, what's that?
Ow! Yes, I can call it that. But
this
still,
is fun.
It still hurts my hand.
I try and disarm you.
Ow!
Keep away! Keep away!
Keep dropping the sword. The hilt is getting damaged, and your hand is getting bruised.
Yes, I can pick it back up, but it does hurt all the same.
Did I get my clothing from the bell tower, from the belfry ever?
We can say that, while you were in the Church of Moradin, you could have gone and gotten it, yeah. Okay. So you've got, like, the trunk with you. You guys have, like, traveler packs with you at this point.
Okay, yeah, I grab my stuff and then I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
All right. We're packed, we're strapped.
Yeah, Callie, you have all of your stuff with you. You have all of your clothes, all of your equipment,
I put it all
journal.
Into the quack pack.
His capacity is increasing.
Foster hops up on your shoulder.
All right, let's beat feet.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layouts and easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. With Squarespace, you can make a place to upload videos or sell content or memberships, courses, music, ebooks, or if you're a small business, you can easily manage your clients and invoices in one streamlined, customizable workflow. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. Folks, their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options. And also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody.
So you guys leave Esri. You see this main road that goes snakes all through the eastern side of Bohemia, called the Golden Road. This well-maintained road out of Esri connects to Cragwater to the north and other smaller villages and cities to the south. You see that there are a lot of people packing up and leaving the city, a lot of people in like carriages and stuff. You also see there are a bunch of like merchants and stuff on their way in. Some people might have like useful stuff like food or things to drink and stuff.
Potions,
things like that.
That's slowed up, right?
Absolutely.
I have to tell you where we're going. It's bad.
Okay, we probably don't need...
so emotionally manipulative. Whatever you want in a person, they will find someone to be that and pretend to be that and give you everything you thought you wanted just to get what they want from you. And then they kick you to the curb, empty-handed. Sorry, I'm just like, last time I was on the Golden Road, I was at like a big time low.
Yeah. You're right. But now you're going back with your two best buds and also a duck. You're unstoppable.
And I love what you're sharing right now, what you're giving.
This is good. Yeah. Leave it on the road.
That's what I'm trying to say is like steal yourself because they're going to be very, very charming.
Yeah, we are, but we're telling Glenn off.
We're telling Glenn off.
We are telling. We're going to give him a piece of our goddamn mind.
Yeah.
We're telling Glenn off.
Yeah.
So let's splurge.
Okay. Sweet. While you do that, I do some quick sit-ups to get a revenge body.
Foster looks at you baffled that you think it's going to work that quickly.
Just planks, push-ups.
You start just doing planks in front of this potion dealer. All right.
Yeah. Saul gives you a routine.
So for pricing, there's something fun in Xanathar's that tells you how to kind of price things and kind of based on the seller. Some people sell for more, some people sell for less. There actually is a role for it. So we'll say that the regular healing one is always going to be the same. That'll always be 50 gold. Potion of greater healing is a D6 times 50. So you can actually get it pretty cheap if I roll low.
Wow.
Oh. Ooh, okay.
So I'll go ahead and roll.
So we saunter up to this potion seller, batting our eyelashes.
See if he's a freaking sucker or not.
Okay, wait. Are we cool to run away in a minute?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I want to cast Friends.
Okay.
And be like,
oh, hello. I just make my own potion. It's so important. In this age with mothership and everything, for little mom and pop shops to be able to sell their wares for a fair price.
My friend removed the cantrip.
Never mind. I'll make friends the old fashioned way.
I have to ask my friend, do you have a weird brother who loves birds?
Oh, we don't talk much, but I was going to go visit him.
I wouldn't.
Is that right?
Think he's in a bad way.
Yeah. Was he attacked by the birds?
The birds did attack him, as was fated.
Right.
But he was asking for it.
I believe that, yes. That is actually why I started making healing potions as a child. Because my brother would make birds very angry and they would attack him. And sort of that is the path our lives took her
you know,
down.
I have a fraught relationship with my sister and I love hearing.
We should
hearing.
Talk about it maybe.
Yeah. I love hearing someone else who has like kind of like a positive relationship.
Oh, I don't have a positive relationship at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, I mean, well, fuck him then.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. He's still my brother.
Okay. I can't read you. Someone else deal with this. I go back to doing my planks.
I'll read it. I'll roll a D6 in front of you guys.
Great.
So D6 times 50 for greater healing potion.
Woo. Not bad.
Two. That's a hot price. 100 gold for greater healing.
Oh. Yeah. and we have 5,000. Let's get fucking 10.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hobnobbed with this guy. We found common ground.
Yes, siblings are the fucking worst.
Big spenders, big spenders.
For 1,000 gold, you get 10 greater healing potions. Pretty damn good deal.
Okay. You know how we love to be messy?
Yeah.
What's messier than eavesdropping?
Oh, that is, yeah, that's dastardly.
Do you have your spectral eye on that potion of clairvoyance?
The potion of clairvoyance.
All right.
I mean, am I going to burn it to find out who Glenn is seeing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's use it. Let's use it on something
toxic. What else
toxic.
Would you use it for? Are we going to use it to see what Glenn's new partner's house looks like and rag on it later? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
What about a potion of flying?
Flying's good.
Let's do flying and clairvoyance.
Flying and clairvoyance, so we can fly up and spy on people. Uh-huh. I love gossip.
I am going to take a glass and fill it with just some juice and write a potion of giant growth on it and give it to Calder and say, hey, I know that you feel a little small. Maybe you should try drinking this.
Oh, wow. When? Right now?
Yeah, see what happens.
Calder shuts his eyes and chugs the potion.
Where?
Oh, my
Whoa,
God.
Whoa, look at you!
Really?
Yeah, you're enormous now.
Everything feels kind of the same.
And I checked with the guy. It seems like the potion is permanent. This is just how tall you are now.
You need to pay for that. Give me cash.
It's all in the duck.
God.
I whispered to him, I'm trying to build confidence in my friend. It was a fake potion.
What'd you say?
What? 50% off. Space Jam style?
Yeah. Yeah, Space Jam style.
All right.
Secret stuff. I tip him.
I appreciate you.
I think it's working slowly.
Right. Yeah, you'll continue to grow.
Foster makes himself shrink a little bit and stands next to Calder.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm getting large.
Well, don't step on me. Oh, no. Ah.
Foster, is there anything that you want? That's a yes.
Oh, why didn't you say so?
Foster, do you want, hiking boots?
Foster doesn't move.
That's also a yes.
Yes.
We will take two of your finest duck hiking boots.
I don't really. I do have terribly small feet. If you just would like to pay for my spare pair of boots.
I would like to buy your shoes.
All right. I'm a size 3.
Really?
Yeah.
You should have taken the potion of giants growth.
I've got a friend back home who's really good at casting haste, and I feel like we're going to miss that. Do you have any potions that could maybe bestow something similar?
I have something like that.
Yeah.
What is the rarity of a potion of haste?
A potion of speed is very rare.
Normally 4,000 gold, it'll be 2,000 gold.
Okay.
Because it's a consumable.
This stuff's priced to move.
Okay, we have these free monostones. I wonder if we could trade them, because it seems to me that there's no tech left. They're just fancy stones.
Yeah.
Can I do an insight if that's the case?
Yeah.
9.
Yeah, they're just fancy stones.
I'm convinced that they're just fancy stones. And there's nothing wrong in my reasoning.
Yeah.
Well,
so if we offer them to this guy, can I just clock his reaction?
Yeah.
Let's see if he thinks they're just fancy stones.
Go ahead and give me an insight check.
Mm. Okay.
14.
14. You know that these are pretty good spellcasting focuses, but they're not super rare. It's not uncommon. Like, all the Ezri soldiers have these, but he sees like a bit of blood on all of them and goes, ha, where'd you get these, fellas?
Sewer.
Got some hot gems.
Yeah.
I won't tell anybody.
They fell off the back of a guy.
All right. This is some fine tech. I'd be willing to do a trade with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't we say 3 stones, 1,000 gold, 3 flying potions.
You got yourself a deal.
There we go.
Shakes your hand, takes the monostones, hands over 3 flying potions.
Okay. And then the rest of the money is haste, clairvoyance, and healing potions.
Sick. Haste is 2,000. Clairvoyance is 1,400. And if you want more greater healing potions, you can just load up on those at 100 gold a pop.
So we just spent all of our money on 16 greater healing potions, 3 flying potions, 1 clairvoyance, and 1 haste.
You guys are stocked.
stacked.
You see a dude rolls by with a cart full of armor and weapons.
Armor, weapons.
What? Oh my god.
I regret everything.
Oh, it's
do you take
so
returns?
Shiny. Dude, is that a +3? Oh, it's
Vorpal swords for 800
you,
gold.
Yeah, can you just walk me through your inventory? Just my, torture me a bit.
My helmet has puke on it.
I'll say he does. He has. There's like a blacksmith that does have the things that are just in like the starting equipment. If you wanted to get like Cal, if you want to get like plate mail or something, you could do that.
You know, I hate not having plate mail because it keeps me dexterous.
Yeah, not a bad idea, especially for the living wood.
I think I'm going to keep my dexterity.
Cool.
I think I'm going to dream of stealing. I'm thinking back. Did Glenn have a weapon?
Of course.
What did he have? Did he have like a little dagger that he loved?
He had a bow that he loved for sure, and he loved that egg. And we got his hands on that egg. It was like, you didn't exist.
Don't get between a guy and his egg.
Between a guy and his eggs.
Let's get going.
Sweet. So you guys have this main road that if you go south, you get to places like Moonstone and stuff. If you go north, you get to places like Cragwater. But that's the main road. Slightly off in the distance, going in the other direction, heading west, beyond it is like Iron Deep and stuff. You can see a path to the living wood, but it is overgrown and unmaintained. Not a lot of people taking this path. Nearby, you see an Ezri watchtower that's on like the edge of the city that looks abandoned, that has like moss climbing up the sides of the stone wall.
Hmm. Hey, do you mind if I pop on my visage and go check out the living wood from up top this tower?
Yeah, that right, sounds cool. Great.
Sweet.
Saul does a big hop.
You hop up. This thing is like a couple hundred feet high. So you jump up and then you have to climb. Mm-hmm. I'll say you even like go in like one of these little windows here. You take this spiral staircase up to the top of this watchtower and give me a perception check as you look out of this guard tower. You do cool. You see like stained blood on the walls up here.
Oh.
This looks like this was probably a bad assignment to get as a guard.
But it would be an Ezri guard that
it would be an Ezri guard that was up here like keeping an eye
on the dragon elves.
Yeah.
Living water.
Okay. Perception check?
Yep.
That's going to be a 15.
15. You look out forest as far as the eye can see. Different elevations, starts going up into like the mountains and stuff, just green everywhere. For being called the Living Wood, looking at this, it's kind of eerily quiet. The brush is so thick that you can't see what it holds inside. And there are trees that are hundreds of feet tall. So literally like as you're looking out, the scout tower is just like right out above the trees. Like you could literally jump out the window from the top here and land in like a canopy of trees. And deep in the distance, you'll occasionally see a flying figure, a bird, a dragon. Impossible to tell from here.
Oh. What do you see up there?
I'm down here trying to disarm Calder and practice this new thing.
Ow. My index finger.
Saul shouts, there be dragons. Maybe. I don't know. Could be.
Could be birds.
I mean, I can actually confirm it's definitely dragons.
Okay. Yep. Then I saw a dragon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever seen dragons before?
I saw a dragon. No. I mean, they're basically... Well, Alvin and I fought, you know, some like drakes, but those were just holograms, I think, essentially.
So you fought a hologram of a less intimidating version of a dragon.
Of the real thing that we're about to go encounter, yeah.
They are beautiful.
Oh,
you
yeah?
You can absolutely understand that people form entire communities around them. They're so charismatic, powerful, they're absolutely like the greatest creature probably in Bohemia.
Wow. Damn. I can't wait to meet one.
Yeah.
And Saul, have you ever been outside the city before?
Oh, Saul thinks about that for a second and then turns back towards Ezri and realizes he's never seen it from this angle.
And you've definitely never seen it without the mothership hanging over it.
Saul feels smaller than he's ever felt, but
it's just because I'm getting bigger.
Mostly because of how big Calder is. But that doesn't trouble him. He's okay with his size and his place in the world, and he's excited to venture deeper into it.
That's actually the beautiful thing about the woods, is that you feel so small, it's a relief.
Yeah. Everything has its place.
Yeah. And all your problems get super small, too.
Okay.
Not that you have any.
Wow, yeah, I'm excited for manageable problems again.
Although, woods are also pretty dangerous.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I've never been in one, but...
So it's just like beauty and danger.
Okay, you're really selling me up and down the river here.
Sorry, I just was excited for you. So
no, I'm definitely excited. Well, if there's nothing else, I guess I'll head back down.
Yeah.
I've been shouting this entire thing.
Shouting from the top of the tower.
Saul starts to head back down the tower, but takes one glimpse towards Moonstone and just thinks about the bullywugs that live there and what sort of life that would have been.
You look off towards the Sunrise Sea, mm-hmm. over towards the coast. And you can't see the village of Moonstone from here, but you look over in that general direction.
All right. On to the wood.
Calder bumps his head on a branch and smiles.
Oh, yeah. He might be the only one who feels bigger in the woods.
Something's happening to me.
You guys enter the woods and are quickly enveloped in darkness. These huge trees with branches and leaves, they're like willows. They create a curtain of green that you need to push through. It's almost like the forest itself is protecting itself from outsiders, or protecting you from it. Eventually you make it through this natural barrier and the forest begins to open up. You see spots of sunlight poking through the trees. Parts of the green canopy above kind of open up, allowing beams of light through. Some of it is still covering the sky, but it's thin enough that you can see the glow of the sun shining through, and you can kind of finally see clearly. You see there's a lot of vegetation, a lot of patches of mushrooms, some of them glowing. There are a lot of like little lizards and animals skittering by. This truly is the living wood. And Callie, you know the general direction of Glenn's camp. Right now, you guys are at the northeast edge of the forest, and he is further southwest, just deeper into the woods.
I turn my nose to the wind, and I seek out the scent of smoke and sandalwood.
Saul nods knowingly. Glenn's deodorant.
It's called sandal smoke. It's so hot.
All right, Cal, I do not want you to get sucked back into this.
There's only one type of sucking we don't do, and that's back in.
Yeah.
You guys begin hiking southwest, and I'll say you guys are going for a few hours. And Callie, give me a history check.
That's going to be a zero. I'm going to add a zero to it, and I crit. Oh! My first crit in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. I think I know the way.
Are you planking again?
Guys, is this what trees smell like? Is this what nature is? This is incredible. It's so moist and humid and everything smells good. I haven't smelled piss in like 10 hours.
You are standing in shit.
Honestly, I forgot how much I love it out here.
The fecundity of it all.
I know.
So, Callie, I'm going to say that you remember a lot of the things that Glenn told you outside of just the romantic things, which you remember all of.
I remember.
He had to explain to you a little bit of the politics of the Dragon Elves, of the things that were currently going on.
Yeah.
So keep in mind that this is through Glenn's perspective.
Yeah, and I think at this point I know to somewhat question his perspective.
Okay, so from Glenn's perspective, the Blue Dragon Elves are the current kind of big bads of the Living Woods.
Order of the Sapphire, right?
Order of the Sapphire scale. They wear the blue masks. They have a ancient blue dragon that is the head of their order. They are the greatest in number, and they have kind of several layers right around where Glenn is, to like the south. You don't really have to worry about them up here to the north, but they're the greatest in number, the greatest power, and Glenn and the green dragon elf seem to have gotten in with them somehow.
And then there's Order of the Ruby Scale.
So Order of the Ruby Scale was wiped out. They were the red dragon elves. There are other ones that Glenn told you to avoid. Okay. There are ones that worship a white dragon. They are like blessed by like the cold power of their dragon. They're a little bit looked down upon. They're great in number, but their dragons aren't as strong. They're seen as kind of being like a lesser order, but that may have been Glenn projecting a bit, like talking shit. But
so
like,
they're probably more like commensurate with Order of the Emerald Scale.
Right, but they're not exactly allies.
Okay.
Glenn told you to avoid the Deep Ones, who are elves that work for like a cave dragon. And they have to wear like these like visors when they come above ground. And they have like cave dragons and things like that, and like crystal dragons and stuff. Glenn told you to avoid them. There was also void elves, which wore black masks that would have like gold trim and things on like that. And you never came across any void or deep ones.
Okay, so I kind of like communicate this all to Calder and Saul, and I'm like, you know, Order of the Emerald Scale, Order of the Sapphire Scale, they're like top dogs.
Uh-huh.
We know the fate of Order of the Ruby Scale. There's also the Cold Ones, who I'm now thinking were pretty similar to Order of the Emerald Scale. And then there's these, the Deep Ones and the Void Elves, and I never met either.
Okay, they sound like serious business, but also sick as shit.
So sick, I know. It's like, at the time, I totally fell for everything that Glenn said, but now I'm like, why didn't I say, please let me meet a Void Elf?
Yeah, I want to know what their deal is. It would be an honor to get my ass kicked by one of them.
So that's sort of what we're dealing with.
That's the lay of the land.
Okay. Yeah.
So around here, you have to be worried about the cold elves. So those are the ones that worship the white dragon. They're
Is
more
that
to the north.
W-H-I-T-E or W-I-G-H-T?
W-H-I-T-E. Okay. They're not undead. Okay. It's a white dragon.
Okay. Cool.
That does like frost breath. That's why they're the cold ones.
Would I ever come across a cold dragon in the frigid north?
I would say in your village, you probably weren't going off into like the mountains to find like dragon's lairs. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be almost like certain death.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
So you probably would not have seen one. Maybe you saw one like in the sky, be like seeing a shooting star or something, like a rare thing. You probably seen one from afar, we'll say.
All right. Love it.
So the cold elves are more around here in this north region. And then if you go into like the caves and stuff, you have to start worrying about like the deep ones and things like that.
Saul tunes out a little bit because he sees a hedgehog for the first time. What the hell's that?
That's a little buddy.
What is that? What are you doing? What is going on there?
Gotta go fast.
Rolls away.
Do you want me to cast speak with animals on him?
No, get it away from me. Cast speak with animals and tell him to get out of here.
It didn't even go that fast.
You see a small drake just swallows the hedgehog.
Are you a city frog?
Yeah.
Sweet. So you guys continue hiking along, heading into kind of the Cold Ones territory. You guys hike for a few hours, occasionally hearing the skittering of animals in the nearby brush. As you guys go, you stumble upon the first kind of like truly odd thing. I'll say that you guys do see like a few like lesser drakes and stuff like on your way that kind of just like look at you like suspiciously from afar and things like that and kind of like skitter away.
I think I just show my fangs a little bit. Like a display of
skitter,
strength.
Skitters away. But you guys see kind of the first weird thing that you've or the first like out of place thing that you've seen in the Living Wood. You find a clearing of grass. Probably the biggest break in the overhead canopy that you've seen so far. And right in the center of it, you see a small tombstone in the grass. It's about 20 feet in diameter, this circle, no trees there, just this open area. Looks like it was like cultivated, like this bed of green. And then above it, no canopy.
Have you seen this place before, Callie?
Have I?
You have not.
Can I hold up the duck and do detect magic to see what kind of magic might have done this?
Yes, you cast detect magic. You see Foster opens his beak and a magic field comes out.
It's like a grocery store scanner.
Yeah. And there.
I hate self checkout.
Yeah, just hire someone.
There is no magic in this area except for below the tombstone.
I gotta see what that tombstone says. I'm sorry, my curiosity is getting the best of me.
I'll cautiously approach the tombstone.
Yeah. I'll stand outside just in case the tombstone is deceitful.
Yeah. Sweet.
Albin would punch me if I didn't investigate this.
Calder and Saul, you guys walk up, crunching on the green grass here, as you get close to this small tombstone. And you see that the writing on it is really, it looks strange. It's like really small. At first you're like, is this another language? What is this? And as you get close, you see that it says on it, outsiders, and a pit trap opens below you. Go ahead and give me dexterity saving throws with disadvantage.
waiting outside was smart.
Callie, you are on the outside. You see this pit trap opens up. The tombstone begins to fall into the pit with these guys.
Should we roll initiative or can I do something?
We'll find out what happens to these guys first.
Okay.
Callie, it's bad. Is this Glenn?
with the disadvantage, I rolled a nat 1.
Okay.
Oh, it's with disadvantage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. With disadvantage, that's going to be a 21 for Saul.
You fucking hop the fuck out of there. You do your bullywug straight up jump, gets you high enough that you're able to grab like a hanging branch out of the way.
This was your idea.
What?
How's it fair that I'm stuck?
Calder, you try to hop out of the way. Callie, you're watching this in horror as you see Calder drops into this trap. Calder, you drop about 15 feet into a pool of murky water and splash in, completely submerged.
I think I forgot how to swim since yesterday. I'm scared.
Calder, are you okay? How deep is it?
He starts doing the butterfly.
You start doing the butterfly. You start like swimming over to the side, yelling to your friends. And suddenly you see this giant monster with the face of a dragon, but the body of a giant eel. Just pops out of the water and tries to bite you and drag you down. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Oh, no.
19.
21.
9.
Okay. First things first, this thing gets a surprise round because Calder is definitely surprised. Calder, you see this thing rears up and it shows its fangs, but first it's going to do a lightning breath. You see the whole thing lights up like an electric eel and then expels lightning breath at you like a dragon. Go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my God. 17.
That unfortunately is a failure.
Oh.
You get hit for 55 damage.
What? I was scared when I thought it was just water.
You guys see this hole starts lighting up. After the surprise round, that's the top of the order. That's Saul.
Okay.
Saul, from this tree that you're hanging from, you look down, you see your buddy is in fucking trouble.
The woods are bad, Callie. The woods are bad.
Yeah, I said they're dangerous, but also beautiful. Be careful not to insult them. They're very touchy.
Okay, I want to run over to this pit. I'm going to activate my gauntlets. I'm going to hang down off the side of the pit and then extend my reach 10 feet to try and get Calder. Basically just something to grab onto.
Yeah, I'll say Calder has like 15 feet of reach to reach up just because he's a fucking huge dude.
This potion is working.
Keep growing.
This giant fucking dragon eel. This whole place lights up as he electrifies the whole fucking water.
It's scary. Now stop it.
Albin and I did the exact same thing, except it was fake.
I'm going to say that you effectively hold your turn to give Calder the help action on trying to get away.
Great,
if that's what you want. Great. Okay. Saul holds his turn. Add initiative 19. That's Calder.
I'm going to try to run away.
Okay.
I butterfly over to the side that the monster's not on.
Great. Are you going to disengage?
Yes. Yes. Great. I will disengage.
You disengage. So I'll say it's effectively going to take like, go ahead and give me an athletics check and you could do it with advantage because of Saul.
Great.
So yeah. So
athletics, you said?
Athletics. Right. You swim back, you kick off. This thing rears back, gets ready to like try to snap at you now. And you are trying to reach up and grab onto Saul.
Kelly, is this one a dragon?
Sort of.
All right.
Let's not stick around to find out.
God damn it. With advantage, I rolled a 12.
I'm going to say with a 12 going from water, trying to climb up 15 feet, I'm going to say that you grab onto Saul and suddenly Calder, you kind of start to realize how big you are. Mm. You guys, I'll say Saul with great strain tries to hang on to the side of the pit here. You are pulling yourself up with Saul. You get your fingers up on the edge of the pit. You guys are both hanging there, but you have not successfully gotten out yet.
Well, okay. If I'm starting to believe that I'm big and strong and powerful, I'm going to action search and try it again.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the potion, Saul. That is a 26.
There you go. I'll say with a 26, you are able to fully pull yourself out. You grab Saul by like the nape of his neck and you keep moving. I'll say it took about your movement, about half your movement to climb up. You disengaged, so you're not able to dash. So you get 15 feet away from this pit. This thing screeches at you. This thing is going to fling itself out of the pit and continue to take attacks at Calder.
What did I do to you?
Come on.
It's going to start with a bite. That is a 24 to hit.
That'll do it. Yeah.
That's 26 damage.
I am going to go down unless I do my stone's endurance. I will shrug off. Ooh, give me a 12. Not bad. 13.
Sweet. So you just take 13 damage, but you are going to take an additional 5 lightning damage. And now you need to succeed on a constitution saving throw as you feel you start to lose control of your body. Like it goes numb and you start getting ready to collapse.
I am at 3 HP, so that tracks. That is a 10.
A 10 is a fail. You guys see Calder's legs give out from under him and he collapses in the woods here.
Calder.
After the dragon eel takes out Calder, Callie, that is your turn. You see, they have both emerged from this pit. They got 15 feet away. This thing threw itself out, bit Calder, got it with some kind of poison because he's still conscious, but he loses control of his body and collapses. And this thing looks like it's getting ready to like grab him and pull him back into the water.
Okay, I'm just going to run to Calder. I'm going to 5 hit points to neutralize the poison.
Sick.
Nice.
Calder, you feel the feeling come back in your body?
Yeah.
You're not going to get my sword. Oh, thank you.
Let the healing waters of the Feywild wash over you.
Thank you, Callie.
And now, pow, I hit him in the shoulder with a greater healing potion.
Oh, sick.
That doesn't do it so hard.
Well, it's got to seep in through the blood.
And then I'm just going to stand right next to Calder.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. You guys are 15 feet away from this little pit. Mm-hmm. Saul, that is your turn.
Okay. I stand in front of Calder. I block this eel's path to Calder with my body. I look back at Calder and say, that potion, it was just cranberry juice. You were always this tall. You were always this strong. You're as tall as the mountains themselves, Calder.
You lied to me.
Technically, yes.
Thank you.
I keep it messy. What can I say? And I'm going to try and stunning strike.
Oh, this sick. Deal.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make an attack to hit first.
Okay.
This thing's pretty freaking scaly.
First attack. 26 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it. Freaking crack this thing in the jaw.
All right. I will go ahead and roll my damage first for the first attack. Ooh, baby. That's going to be 9 damage on the first hit.
Okay.
And then they're going to need to make a constitution save.
Okay. This thing does have a plus 5 to con. What's your DC?
15.
Okay. So 10 or higher, and this thing saves. All I'm going to roll in front of the table.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Come on.
That is an 11. You see this thing is completely unaffected. You punch it, and it feels like you just punched a brick wall.
Well, you know what? If you punch a brick wall enough, it'll fall down. I'm going to go again.
Yeah, try again.
You can try a stunning strike again, certainly, yeah.
You can try and stun as much as you want.
Is a 13 hit?
13 does not hit.
All right, okay. That's a miss, but flurry of blows. Let's do this.
Sick. Yeah. Let's do it.
24 to hit, okay.
Going
to
try a stunning strike?
Yeah, I'll roll the damage first. Yeah, that's 10 damage.
Okay, this thing, it's going to go ahead and roll 9 or lower and fails. Has to get less than a 10. That's a 9. Saul, this thing like leans down, gets ready to like bite you, and you punch this thing directly in the eye. And it begins to like reel back into its like little lair. And it lets out like a convulsive shock as it is stunned for the round.
Oh, I know we should run, but I know it'd be so easy to hit it right now.
Should we all just take a couple cracks?
Maybe we all just take one crack and then run.
Yeah,
one crack and then run.
Just one fun crack. One for fun.
One for fun.
I mean, I have one more attack.
One for fun, then run.
Sweet.
I love that.
Cool. I have one more attack I can do. Do I roll that with advantage now that they're stunned?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, boy. That's a nat 20.
Sick. Yeah, wallop this thing.
This frog is kicking this dragon eel's ass.
One for fun, then run. One for fun, then run.
One for fun, then run. Suck on this. That's just another 10 damage.
Cool.
And it's fine. Okay, that's all my attacks, though.
Don't forget to run.
Are you going to run?
Yeah, and then I will run 45 feet.
Oh, good for you. You run 45 feet southwest, continuing on your journey. Mm-hmm. After Saul, that is Calder's turn.
Cool. I will cast Expeditious Retreat and kick it with an ice skate.
Sick.
One for fun. I crit. Oh!
Go ahead and slash into this thing. Do your damage.
Oh, wow.
Insane.
14 damage. And I will run.
Sick. How far does Expeditious Retreat get you?
Let me see.
With your movement. It's an extra 30, right? So you get 60? It's almost like you took a dash?
Right,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get out of range. That's the Dragon Eel's turn. Dragon Eel looks furious. Electric shocks go through it. Is stunned, just wriggling there. But it is like trying to get out of its lair, out of the pit. After the Dragon Eel, that's Callie.
Can I do one for fun then run?
You can do one for fun then run.
Is it still stunned?
Still stunned if you want to do one for fun and
if
run.
It's stunned, you do one for fun then run. Does an 18 hit?
Yes.
Okay. No! Okay, so I'll just use my mobile flourish to try and get my AC up because it's not like I did anything fun like crit.
Cool.
It's still fun.
So my AC's up to 20.
Cool.
I get a plus 2, 12 damage. And I run.
And you run.
That wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be.
Kelly, how far
so
can you run?
So because I did defensive flourish, I get an extra 10 feet of speed. So I can run 40 feet.
Damn, we are all fast.
Okay, Kelly.
So 40 feet, and then I want to position myself near Calder if I can.
Sweet. You are lucky that you did that because this thing has a reach of 10 and a speed of 20 on land, which is not great, but he would have been able to reach you if you just ran your regular 30 feet. you see this thing on its next turn. I'll say Saul and Calder, you guys keep running. Callie, you keep running. You guys see this thing launches itself out of its lair and plops onto the ground, onto the floor of the forest here, and begins slithering like a snake after you guys.
It's doing the Godzilla wriggle.
It is snapping at Callie's heels.
Run.
But you guys are able to escape. You get away from the first horror you have faced in the living wood.
Second horror if you count the hedgehog.
And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh my gosh, it feels good to be in danger again.
Yes. What a rush.
That's good Dragon Eel. To be in the woods.
The Dragon Eel shout out to Kobold Press.
Shout out.
That is horrifying.
It's so bad. The lightning breath while being like stuck in murky water with it.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah. So scary.
Yeah. I was really worried that you guys were going to stay and try to fight it. Mm-hmm. To me, it was just like, this thing is a water-based creature.
Yeah.
The trap is that it's in the water. As long as you get away from it, you're fine.
We really fell right into the trap.
I mean, I just haven't had spell slots in a while, so I just was like,
you wanted to smite like crazy.
We want a little fun.
You know what? We'll have more of this chat. Let's save it for the short rest.
That's right.
You can head on over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Do not say that. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it, everyone, please. We'll talk about that more. In the meantime, does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll plug me and my brother's shop.
Yeah.
Brothers Halcyon.
Ooh.
Buy your wallets, buy your hats, buy your key clips over there.
Whoa. That's the big three. The big three accessories.
Your everyday carry essentials. We got you covered.
You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, @CHMurfsMe, @CaldysCaldwell, @EXtraEmily, and @JakeHurwitzIsJake. And you can tweet about the show using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B, who is missing his own D&D game to see NADPOD live in LA. Thanks for that, Dylan B. Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Mr. Cole, Victor T, a.k.a. Balner's Boy Forever, Dominic P, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Fairwind, TJM, Trele the Crayfay, Jared E, Christopher B, Daniel R, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Brian W, Vice President of Business Development of Sure Incorporated, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, a lot of L's, Nicholas C, Thaddeus, Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B, Mike H, Martin P, Matthew E, Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana DL, CC Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Crocaholic, Lucas B, Ryko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, #love to all my supporters, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Steven C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Mutton the Mad Druid, has been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorph sheep for 3 weeks, Foster, the original boneless duck, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Percival, Frederick Stein, Von Musel, Klazowski, DeRolo the Third, Christian A, Olivia K, Jay Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, Cody B, Liam D, The Sandrian, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F, Mark U, Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Cat C, Kelsey J, Pork Chop, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Valet C Raptor, Manette the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L, Akchutha A, Lauren H, Joshua D, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robit CRSP, Telekitty Creations Fan Illustrator, Ploops, Carly A, Addy K, AP Cleric, Lori P, Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Spam Gaming the Tatted Gamer Boy, Grant L, Connor Savage, Christopher J, Pebblepot, What Happens When You Stand on a D4? Your Foot Takes 1d4 Damage, Salil, Leviathan, Bioquart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Hi, my name is Brian Murphy. I wish I could tell you that I'm a golden finch, but I'm really just a dirty city pigeon. Afrix, Fandere, Cardor, Finnegan, Whisper,
Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, Saul's future life partner, Champ Wild, Valen, Beep, Barbarian, Bastard Baby of Brian and Brennan, Carlin C, Louie is your centaur dad, Emily S, Harry Cox, Allie, congrats on finishing your master's degree, love you, Justin L, Toralee Skirmisher, Pendergreens, Pungent Pudding, hashtag CCC, hashtag slanging rope, disgusting, Dandy, Ian D, thousands of bunnies are let go into the wild to fend for themselves with no knowledge of the world, Claudius was one of them, Marcos P, Pup K-Lash, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pago, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Fritzed, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Anthony A, Christina Z, Leah C, Paige H, Helen of Briz, Beatrix's Beautiful Baby Batter, Pixel Stars, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, also congrats on the job, Ellie, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Zero Parody, the not so bad DM, Neos, the novice monster hunter, some jerk named Simon, I dreamt he shouted at me that I should remember and free him as if I knew who he was, Lorelei Frost, Morgan M, a peeling sticker, Stephen E, Mr. Adams, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, hi man, yeah, that's me, Captain Cappy, M4L, the Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Stormbjorn, Andrew B, Cope Fresh, Barpo Goodbarrel, Bardbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money off of the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go All the Stops show, Blue Shade the Artificer, Michaela R, Albin's Alabaster Aftermath, hashtag Come Muppets Will Rise, good lord, Solemn Sticky Sauce, hashtag CCC Double Down, Calliope's Cumulo Cum Blast, hashtag CCC Forever, Riley S, Sir Sig 93, FICO, Bal's Boy Va Delgrom, No One Is Cooler Than Angry Wheat, especially not the front half of a horse costume, The Game Itself, Chaos Conf, aka I Am a Smaffire, Shacked Aaron R, Tony G, Logan D, Anthony DM Jr. would like to declare his full support for hashtag CCC and its derivatives, Josh H, Jack the Jacks, Jinxing Rogue in search of Bohemia's biggest balls, Sammy the Nico, Mango Empanadas, Cora Bright, and Temadar. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners, all of our Patreon subscribers, and all of our benevolent Council of Elders. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.